Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to jump right in with Scripture. And I will apologize, we don't have... I'm still plugged in. I'm just going to be dragging this cable all over. I don't have it up on the screen for us this morning, but it's going to be John chapter 1. Says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." See, when we began this series 3 months ago, RJ stepped up here. I don't know if you remember this. He pulled out a children's Bible, and he started reading a story from this children's book, and it said this. It says that at the center of the story, there's a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He's like the missing piece of a puzzle, the piece that holds everything together, and suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. This is no ordinary baby. This is the child upon whom everything would depend. See, for the last 3 months, we've been telling this story, and it's a compilation of stories. It's a group of small stories, but they're all telling one story. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of a God who loves us so much that he will stop at nothing to bring us back to him. And we've seen, through the course of the last 3 months, we've seen these questions echoing through the air that God has been asking his creation. The questions, do you trust me? Do you believe? Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal? Will you obey? See, what we're hearing is the cry of the heart of God, a God that loves us so much. He's saying, listen, I love you so, so much. Do you love me? And he has been laying a foundation because we've seen in the last 3 months, we've seen humanity try to rise up and answer these questions that God has been asking. And we've seen some success, but we've seen a lot of failure. But through the course of all of this trial and failure, God has been laying a foundation. And I think that Pastor said it so well last week when he said that when the Israelites went into exile, right, that their God was risking everything because the people, they go into exile and they disappear. But when they came out of exile, they came out of exile with more loyalty to God than they had going in. They came out of exile with a better grasp on their identity, on who they were, than they had before. See, God has been laying a foundation for something beautiful to happen. And I am so excited that I get to preach this sermon, because up until now, we've seen a lot of human response. But today, it's a turning point. The story that we're talking about today, it's a pivotal moment in history. This is the moment where Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the moment where God steps into creation to make a way for us to step back to Him. See, we've been talking about our response to these questions. This week, we get to talk about God's response. Thomas Oden, he's a theologian. He says it this way. He says that the pivot of history is the incarnation, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, God's own personal engagement in the human condition, where the Son of God speaks of the Father's forgiving love to human history. We get to witness God coming to us in the incarnation, in the birth of Christ. John 1:18, it said that no one has ever seen God except for the Son of God who sits at the Father's side. He has made Him known. You see, when we look at Jesus, we see the full revelation of who God is. We don't see this picture of God. We don't see a reflection of God. We don't see the copy. When we look at Jesus, we are seeing God. He is the Word made flesh. He is He who was with God in the beginning. He is God Himself. And we see in Jesus the heart of God. We see how deeply He loves His creation. We see the love of God for the lonely, for the broken, for the hurting, for the widow, for the orphan, for the captive, for all of those people who are found in the margins. We see how deeply God loves them through the teachings of Christ. We see God's love for the lost, for those people, just like Alicia said during her prayer, those people that we have this barrier between us and God because of the sin of our choices. We see how deeply He loves the lost when Jesus says, just like the shepherd who loses one sheep will leave the 99 behind to go find the one. This is how much God loves His people, and we see the love of God in Christ. We see His grace upon grace. When Peter asks Jesus, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive the person that sins against me? And He answers, 77 times 7. Basically, what that means is never stop. Never stop forgiving the person that sins against you. We see the grace of God. We see the grace of God when Jesus is speaking to the adulteress and He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. We see His mercy and His compassion on the cross when He says to the repentant thief next to Him, today you will be with me in paradise. When we look at Jesus, we see the full revelation of who God is. We see love and grace, mercy and compassion. But we see so much more than God when we look at Jesus. We don't only see His full revelation of God, we see the full revelation of man as well. See, when we look at Jesus, we look at someone who was born, who put on flesh, became human, not so that He could become less. God didn't become less when He was born. He made it so that we could become more. And we look at Jesus, and we see a perfect example of humanity. Because those questions, they're still echoing in the air. Do you trust me? Do you believe? Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal? Will you obey? Jesus rises up to answer those questions. He says, everything that I see the Father doing, I do. I believe. When Peter comes to him and says, there's no way you're going to die in 3 days, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. I trust the Father. This is my work. When Satan pulls Jesus up to the top of a mountain and says, look at everything. Everything that you see, it can be yours. All you have to do is bow before me. Jesus remains loyal. And in Gethsemane, when Jesus is on his knees, he is crying out to God, literally crying so intensely that scripture says he's crying tears of blood, saying, take this cup from me, it's too much. But not my will, your will be done. Jesus obeys. Paul says that Jesus obeys even to the point of death on a cross. When we look at Jesus, we see a full revelation of who we are supposed to be. We see a man step up to answer these questions that God has been asking from the beginning with a resounding yes. Jesus was the light that came into the darkness to set an example for us. But he did so much more than just set an example. It says that for all who receive him, for all who would believe in his name, they have been given the right to become children of God. 1 John 1:3 says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we would be called his children. Jesus has made a way for us to come back into the presence of God. See, this is the story of redemption that we have been talking about, and this is the turning point. This is the birth, the ministry, the death, and the life of Christ. This is the point where all of history turns, because Jesus has made it possible for us to come to God. Augustine says it best, I think. He says that for man to be born of God, God had to be born first of man, so that we could come to the Father. Jesus stepped down and came to us. He showed us the way. He was the light in the darkness, an example of perfect humanity. And if this is true, if Jesus is the full revelation of man, if he is this perfect example to how we are supposed to answer these questions that are still lingering in the air, by the way, God is still asking us the questions, do you trust me? Do you believe? Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal? Will you obey? And if Jesus is in fact the correct answer to how we answer those, and if Jesus is in fact the full revelation of God, and we see in him the image of the invisible, then what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us? What is our response? Our first response is one of imitation. Because if Jesus is in fact the perfect example of what humanity is meant to be, if Jesus is in fact exactly what we need to be striving for, then we need to imitate Christ. And if we are going to become like Christ, if we are going to imitate the behaviors of Christ, we have to know Christ. We have to spend time in his word, because we can't act like Jesus if we don't know how Jesus acted. We can't talk like Jesus if we don't know the words of Jesus. We cannot begin to become like someone that we don't know. So we need to spend time in His Word, learning about who He is, becoming familiar with Christ through His Word. But it can't end there. Yes, we need to spend time in the Word, but we also need to spend time in His presence through prayer. I had the privilege this summer of going back home to Ohio. And while I was there, my sister came up from Tennessee with her two nephews. And we had this wonderful like family reunion thing happening. And so we're sitting there, and she has two kids, right? Cain and Fisher. Cain is the older. Fisher is the younger. And I was sitting on the couch on Monday. And I was coloring a picture with Cain. We're just drawing. We're having a good time, right? I look down. I have no idea what this kid is drawing. He's four, by the way. Like, I'm just baffled. I'm like, what is that? So I ask him. I was like, Cain, what are you drawing? He points at it, says, that. So I look at it, and I was like, yeah, I still have no clue what that is. So I ask, well, what is that? He points at it and says, that. Thanks, Cain. Huge help. All right. Fast forward 2 days. I'm sitting on the couch with Fisher. We've been watching TV for a while. I don't even know anymore, like, what's going on the TV. All of the kids' shows, they just kind of blend together. And so I look at it, and there's some silly, like, cartoon thing going on. And I look at Fisher, and I'm like, Fisher, what are we watching? He points at the screen and says, that. My nephews are broken, but the idea here, like, if how many of you have siblings? A lot of you, all right? A younger brother looks up to his older brother. Fisher looks up to Cain so much. He wants to be just like Cain, and he spends a lot of time with Cain. I mean, they're related. They don't get to be, like, apart from each other. They're always together. And so Fisher, because he wants to be just like Cain, because he is spending so much time with Cain, he's begun to pick up on the mannerisms that Cain has. He's begun to say things that Cain says, like when Cain is describing what he's doing, he points and says that. When we want, or when we spend time with people, especially people that we admire, we begin to pick up on their mannerisms. We begin to speak the way that they speak. We begin to act the way that they act and do the things that they do. So if we want to imitate Christ, if we want to become like Christ, then we need to spend time with Christ. We need to be spending so much time with Jesus that His love that He's constantly pouring into us begins to naturally pour into the people around us. We need to be spending so much time with Jesus that we begin to talk like Jesus talks. That we begin to do what Jesus does and behave the way that Jesus behaves and go the places Jesus goes. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be doing Jesus things. And the really awesome thing about picking up on people's mannerisms is that when you spend so much time with them, you don't even notice that it's happening. It's just like, huh, I never did that before, but now I do because I've been spending so much time with this person. I would love it if I just accidentally started doing Jesus things because I have been spending so much time in the presence of God through His Scripture and through prayer. So our first response to the revelation of Christ has to be one of imitation. Because God is still asking us this question, do you love me? And Jesus is our answer. And the second response, if Jesus is in fact the full revelation of God, when we look at Jesus and we see Him in His Word, we are seeing God. And if you look throughout Scripture, anytime somebody comes into the presence of God and they see God face to face, their response is worship. So if Jesus is in fact the full revelation of who God is, then we need to worship. Because we have seen God. Because God has stepped down to earth to make a way for us. Because he has made it possible for us to get closer to him. So we worship. The worship team is going to come back up. And now, and we're going to close in worship. This is why we close in worship every week, by the way. It's because we believe that when we are hearing a sermon, we are hearing the voice of God. So, not that my voice is the voice of God, but I do believe God has given me these words. We've seen Christ, which means that we have seen the image of the invisible God. We have seen him, and he has stepped down into our story, and he has made a way for us to come back to him. And the song that we're going to sing is called Death Was Arrested, and I've said it when we introduced this song a month ago. This song is our story. It is the story of a people who have been alone in sorrow, a people who have been broken, a people who are lost in our sin, who are captives. And then Jesus stepped in, and he made a way for us to be whole again. The chorus says, it is by grace so free. It says, oh, your grace so free washes over me. Your love poured out. This is the incarnation. Because God so loved the world that he sent his son for whoever would believe. We were joking on Thursday a little bit that we were ending the service with a bang because the song ends so high. And it's the only way. If this is our story, if our story is that we were lost in our sin, but then Jesus came and he made us new, then our only response is one of ending with worship, with high energy worship, shouting out that I am free and that this is the song of the redeemed. So we are going to close in worship right now. Let's stand and sing this song. Sing our story.